Grace and Lent and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is found in the Gospel of St. John, the 18th chapter, verses 10 and 11, as follows. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Here ends our text. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who died that we might live, dear fellow redeemed. There's a certain plant native to parts of Europe and North Africa. Rather innocuous looking in its natural setting. It has a purplish stem and very pretty white flowers. But when processed, it yields an alkaline compound that is extremely toxic. Its Latin name is conium maculatum, but it's more commonly known as poison hemlock. The ancient Greeks used it to execute prisoners. Condemned criminals would be forced to drink a bitter potion made with poison hemlock. Shortly thereafter, they'd suffer convulsions, paralysis, and eventually death. In the year 399 BC, the famous philosopher Socrates was put to death in this manner. Convicted on a charge of corrupting the youth of Athens, he was given the bitter cup of hemlock to drink and died in agony. Some 430 years after that, another famous man drank a very bitter cup. This time, though, there was a choice. Strangely enough, he was not forced to drink the cup, but he did it of his own free will. And this time the cup contained not hemlock, but something far more bitter. This was the draught of immense suffering and woe, the cup of God's righteous anger over the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ was the one who drank it. This morning we'll consider one of the most searching questions in this season of Lent, or indeed of any time. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? It's a question that Jesus asked of Peter, and in another way, it's a question that you and I may well ask of ourselves. We return once again to the scene we visited last Thursday evening during our midweek Lenten worship. The Garden of Gethsemane is lit by the flare of torches. Jesus and his few disciples are confronted by a large band of armed men led by the betrayer, Judas. It is their hour, as Jesus said, and the power of darkness. You may recall that it was just a short time before this that Peter, the most impetuous disciple, had been bragging so loudly about his courage. He vowed that he would never leave Jesus' side, that he would fight to the death if necessary. So now, evidently, Peter felt like it was time to put his words into action. So he snatched his sword from its scabbard and struck out wildly. As it happens, one of the high priest's servants, a man named Malchus, is standing in the wrong place at the wrong time. Peter swings his sword and strikes a glancing blow at Malchus' head, severing his right ear. I wonder what Peter thought was going to happen next, don't you? Maybe he thought that the rest of the disciples would rally behind him, taking courage from his boldness and defeating the armed men who had come to arrest Jesus. Perhaps he thought that Jesus would do what he had done just a moment ago and speak one word and all the soldiers would fall backward to the ground. Or maybe he thought that Jesus would strike them all with blindness, as he had done that time in Capernaum, so that he and his disciples could walk through their midst to safety. But how shocked Peter must have been when instead of any of those things, Jesus did something completely different. He quickly turned to Peter, and instead of commending him for his bravery, he rebuked him for his ignorance. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" This was Jesus' searching question to Peter. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? It's a question that implies several other questions. Don't you know why I'm here, Peter? Don't you know yet what this is all about? After all the hours I've spent instructing you, do you still not understand what I came here to do?" For the moment, Jesus warded off disaster by immediately and miraculously healing the ear of the high priest's servant. But that question remained there, as if suspended in midair. "Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Peter, no doubt puzzled over these words in light of the sad and disturbing events that followed. But you and I don't have to puzzle over them. We know now exactly what Jesus meant. When was the last time you drank something that was very bitter? Maybe you can't even remember. Companies work hard nowadays to make their products palatable. Usually even medicine doesn't taste that bad. Perhaps you remember, however, drinking something bitter by mistake, something that wasn't intended to be consumed by a human being. Jesus, though, drank the bitterest cup of all, and make no mistake, his drinking it was completely intentional. Jesus' experiences over the coming 24 hours would be bitter in the extreme. He knew what lay ahead. By going quietly with the arrest detail, Jesus knew he was surrendering himself to physical abuse, forced exhaustion, beating, scourging, and finally the death of crucifixion. Worse would be the spiritual agony he'd endure, pain that you and I can scarcely imagine. To be innocent and yet be condemned, to be supremely virtuous and yet to suffer the ultimate shame and humiliation. At that time, most condemned criminals were put to death, not by crucifixion, but by beheading. Barbarous practice, certainly, but at least it's quick and merciful. Jesus would have no such mercy. Jesus would be made to suffer horribly. He'd be tortured to death on the Roman cross, a mode of execution that was reserved only for the worst and most vile of criminals. This shame, too, Jesus had predicted to his disciples. "For I say to you that that which is written must still be accomplished in me. He was numbered with the transgressors." Sometimes, as you know, if you're going through a bitter experience, your pain can be tempered somewhat if you have loved ones nearby to commiserate with you and share the pain. But even this small comfort would be denied to Jesus. He'd see one friend betray him, another deny him, and the rest of them take to their heels and abandon him. Jesus would fulfill that prophecy of Isaiah, "I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me." Indeed, it was a very bitter cup and a solitary cup that Jesus would voluntarily drink. And yet, Christ's searching question held answers too. Answers for Peter and answers for you and me. The Greek text is very emphatic here as to the reason Jesus would drink this bitter cup, because it was his Father's will. His heavenly Father had given it to him. This was the way God wanted it. From the very foundations of the world, this was God's master plan of redemption, to substitute his innocent Son for guilty sinners like you and me, to cover our sins by punishing him. Who could imagine such a daring rescue plan? Who could conceive a love so deep that it would willingly sacrifice so much for people so unworthy? Not long ago in Bible class, we talked about how a parent might lovingly cast himself in front of a speeding car in order to save his child. That we can understand. What we can't imagine is a parent deliberately pushing his child into the path of certain death in order to save someone else. That makes no sense to us, but that's just what happened on Calvary. That was exactly God's plan to save us, to sacrifice his beloved Son. It's the reason Jesus was given such a bitter cup to drink. It was his Father's will that he drink it, and he wasn't going to let anything keep that bitterest of cups from his lips. It's ironic, isn't it? Peter wanted to fight against anything that might lead to the cross. Jesus fought against anything that might lead away from the cross. He told his disciples, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour." Jesus chose to accept that cup of his own free will. The question, "Shall I not drink it?" implies the answer, "Yes, of course, I must drink it." He had a specific goal in mind, a particular joy that was his goal to attain. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." What was that goal? What was the joy that Jesus was aiming at? What made him willingly take that bitter cup of suffering to his lips? My dear friends, he did it so that he might place a very different cup, the sweet cup of salvation, at your lips. Free forgiveness for all your sins, peace with God, everlasting life. That's the cup Jesus brings to you. And what does he ask in return? Nothing. Just that you receive it in faith and thankfulness. That doesn't seem like much, does it? But evidently it is too much for most people. Millions of Americans around us have heard the gospel and rejected it. They have turned down God's offer of salvation in Christ. He has drained the bitter cup for them, and in its place has offered them the sweet cup of forgiveness and salvation, but they have dashed it to the ground. For them, the cross is a stumbling block and foolishness. The gospel, a fairy tale meant for children and a few naive adults. They prefer to serve other gods, like the god of money, or the increasingly powerful gods of pleasure and entertainment. Some make themselves into gods and presume to save themselves by their own good works. But we will not be deceived by these or any other false gods. Jesus is our Lord. He has told us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." On the cross, he drained that bitter cup of suffering over the sins of the world. And he did it so that in its place we might be offered that other, much sweeter cup. It's free, and it's for you. It's the cup of salvation and eternal life. So ask yourself this morning's searching question. Shall I not drink the cup that my Lord is offering to me? Yes, in the cross of Christ we find the sweet offer of free salvation, and it's an offer much too good to turn down. Joyfully, let us answer that question the same way the psalmist answered it when he said, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Amen."